Thank you, Mr. Suvinen. Good morning to all of you. You do have a few visitors, and we got a fairly full house. Well, that's good. Before I start my message here, we had an event happen this week in the Miller family, and I have an announcement that I'm going to read to all of you. As some of you may have already heard, last Tuesday, Mark proposed to Amanda. After their days at the farm in Walnut Creek, where they took a wagon tour and fed the animals from around the world, that seems to be a Miller thing to do, Mark blindfolded Amanda and drove her to Troyer's Hollow. There he led her by the creek and sat her down by a tree. After taking her blindfold off, Mark played the guitar and sang her the song, "God Gave Me You" by Dave Burns. Then he proposed, and of course she said yes. So I was, maybe I'm a little bit proud, but I asked him whether I could make the announcement. But that's not why I'm up here. I'm up here to give a sermonette. Mark's parish was scheduled, but he had a change in plans this week, so he asked whether I would take his place. It was a snowy afternoon in January 1982, a lot of you probably remember this, in Washington, D.C. Air Florida's Flight 90 roared to full throttle. Strapped into their seats were 5 crew members and 74 passengers. Only 73 seconds after its takeoff, 103,000 pounds of aircraft slammed into the concrete and steel of the 14th Street Bridge, then plowed through the frozen surface of the Potomac River. 6 people clung to their lives in the mangled remnants of the huge airliner. 22 minutes would pass before the arrival of the National Park Service helicopter. The bank executive was the first to have a rescue line dropped to him. To the astonishment of the rescuers aboard the helicopter, this man refused, safety for himself, and placed the line around another passenger. 5 times he made a conscious decision to put the lives of the other survivors ahead of his own. Having delivered survivor number 5 to the shore, the helicopter returned to reel in the hero, only to find that he had slipped out of sight to join his fellow passengers in a watery grave. I don't know how many of you have heard that story before, but I remember when it happened. It was before I was in the church, but, you know, we still get news in Amish country. But one may ask, you know, why did he have to die? And he was, truly was, a hero. If he put his own life first, certainly some, if not all, of the 5 who survived the tragedy would have died. Yet, another man, in another time, gave his life so that others would live. When that happened, no swell of inspiration appeared among onlookers. Yet he was a much greater hero. How he gave up his life so that others could live is not as immediately obvious as the hero of Flight 90. Yet his heroism is far greater than any before and after, or after. You see, that hero is Jesus Christ. So today I would like to talk about Jesus Christ, the greatest hero of all times, and what his sacrifice means to us. We have gone through this. We have an understanding, but I think it was Mr. Armstrong said that repetition is the best form of emphasis. So I'm going to emphasize, you know, why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't God come up with some other plan? Wasn't there another way? Whether we realize it or not, survival is the issue facing each of us. Jesus Christ goes far beyond our everyday concerns of escaping death, or his sacrifice does, from injury, disease, and old age. Now, one of the probably most quoted, and maybe a lot of times misquoted scriptures in the Bible is John 3:16. In this familiar Bible passage, God summarizes the planning behind the death of his son. Turn with me to John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should live in hell forever. That's not what it says. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Contrary to what many believe, death is not the altered state of life in heaven, hell, purgatory, or some other place or condition. The dead know nothing, says the Bible, and they have no more reward, that's in this life, for the memory of them is forgotten. When you think about it, how many people have died in the past 6,000 years that there is no memory, there's no record, mankind does not have anything about their whereabouts, where they died, or what happened. Just, for example, the Oregon Trail, we've been out west for the feast the last couple of years. And we reminisce about how many people along that trail are buried. One thing they did when a person died, the common thing they did is they buried them on the trail and ran over their graves with wagons because they did not want the Indians or somebody come and dig up the grave. So a lot of them are buried right underneath the trail. But the point I'm making is they're forgotten. There is no memory or record of them. The dead know nothing, says the Bible. One who perishes ceases to live, with no power or ability on his own to exist again. It is good to take some time to consider that, because we are all on the road to perish without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He came that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. Question is, why must we perish? Because we have sinned. Romans 3:23, you don't have to turn there for lack of time, says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. Sin is so powerful that it can eliminate any chance for survival, unless an antidote can be found for its effects. Sin's presence spells the total destruction of life and hope of life. And sin's consequences are enormous. The stakes could not be greater. Sin kills, and it kills forever. What can counteract sin? With everyone polluted, tainted, as we all have been, and infected by sin, who or what can nullify its poisonous effect? Well, the answer to that is Jesus Christ can. He uniquely was without sin. He was the creator of the universe, as we know. Therefore, God could offer his son's life as a single hope to destroy death. What value did the life of Jesus hold in comparison with the value of all other human lives? The one untouched by sin lives forever. He also created us. The one touched by sins, on the other hand, sin by, on the other hand, dies forever. Jesus Christ's life is worth so much that it outweighs the value of all human beings who ever lived before him, who have lived since, and who will live yet in the future. The fact is, sin causes death. Jesus had to die to block its destructive end. Only by the sacrifice of a life of enormous worth could the enormous penalty of all sin be paid. So why did Jesus die? He died because of love, which we read in John 3:16. His death was an act of love. Both God the Father and Jesus Christ were motivated by love for all of mankind. And that's amazing. You know, we talked about the individual who saved five lives. Jesus Christ gave up his very eternal existence to come and die for us. Philippians 2, verse 6. God and Jesus Christ were willing to pay the supreme sacrifice to seek and secure the possibility of a loving personal relationship with us. Being in very nature God, Philippians 2, verse 6, being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Until Jesus became a man, he could not have died, because he had eternal life in him. With his Father, he made the conscious decision, and he agreed to it. And we read about that in John. I can't cite the exact scripture right now, but where he actually was, when his right came down to it, you know, he struggled with it, but he had made that decision to die. That makes the depths of their love all the more evident and profound. After he became a man, Jesus still would not have suffered the agony of execution by crucifixion had he not chosen to offer himself. Death was not an easy choice. He confirmed his heroic right up to the excruciating end. We read about that in Matthew 26, verse 39. Jesus described his decision to step into the human realm to pay the exacting price of sin as the supreme act of love. He died for all of mankind, not only five people. As he said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. That's in John 15, verse 13. Can we possibly comprehend why Jesus had to die? His death was not just a matter of giving up a life. He chose to step aside from being very God, alive forever, to die so human beings could live forever. Jesus was willing to empty himself of his spiritual body. Therefore, he is the greatest hero that ever lived. Give up what he was and had to become a man as you and I, so you and I could live. He was strong in faith, not giving in to Satan after a 40-day fast. And I'm always amazed at that. That is a miracle in itself for a human being to be able to fast 40 days and not die. In spite of all criticism, he loved his enemies as an example for us. Why did Jesus have to die? He had to die because of the sins of humanity and the deaths he demands. To make possible a relationship between the Father and all men and women, Father and Jesus Christ, who are invited to become children of God. To make possible the resurrection of eternal life, to defeat the awful penalty of eternal death. He had to die because he chose to die for each of us in a division of pure love made with and by his Father. If they are willing to pay such an enormous price to gain a relationship with us, then what are we willing to do to have a relationship with them?